Okay, ladies, good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome.
So now we are looking at Tanya, and we're looking at page 75, 76 at the bottom pagination, and it's chapter 18 of Tanya, Yud Ches, the chapter 18 in the first part of Tanya. Now, the Tanya began with a title page which says, the author gives a statement what he's going to base this book on. And if we just look at this title page for the moment, it's right there at the beginning. You don't have to turn to it, you can just see. He says over here, this book, Likutei Amarim, collected writings called the Book of the Beinoni, is based on the verse Ki korev elecha hadova mo'oid, because it's exceedingly near to you, beficha o bilvavcha, in your mouth and in your heart, la'asoy soy, to do it, to do. So he says this is the verse which is the basis of Tanya. So this is a verse which is in the Bible, in the Torah, and this is the absolute basis of what Tanya is all about. And so what is it all about? It's very easy. It's very easy to serve Hashem. It's very easy to be a Jew in the modern world or in any period of time. It's very easy. It's close to you. It's close to each one of us. We're able to do it. And that is this fantastic statement which is there right at the beginning of the book. And the whole book, which sometimes seems very complicated, is really written in order to show us how it's just within our grasp. We can do it. We can come close to Hashem in davening, in doing mitzvahs, in our thoughts, in our feelings. It's all there. We can be inspired, and when it's necessary to get down and do something which is difficult, we can do that as well. It's easy. Even if it's difficult, it's easy. That's the message in Tanya. We can do it. And of course that's represented in practical terms by the Chabad houses around the world, by all the kind of Lubavitch activities which are saying to people, come in, it's very easy. Each one of us is an inheritor of the tremendous inheritance from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We are all princes and princesses. We all have that tremendous inheritance. The Talmud says the whole Jewish people are the children of kings. We all have that. We all have this nobility. We all have this behind us and with us and within us.
Does a ger have the same ability?
Well, it's a very interesting thing, because a ger, his neshama was also there at Mount Sinai, and we consider his parents to be very special people, Abraham and Sarah. And so therefore a ger's name is so and so, the son of Abraham and the son of Sarah. So he does have that quality. Once he's made the step of becoming a ger,
yes,
then he or she has got that quality totally.
Right.
So here we are, Perek Yud Ches, Ulo Tosefes Bio. To explain, Ulo Tosefes Bio, to explain more clearly, Baya Hetev, that means clearly putting it, setting it out in front of us, Milas Mo'oid, the word very, Shebaposuk, which is in this verse, Ki Korev Elecha Hadova Mo'oid, the thing is very close to you, very easy for you. Now, why is it very easy? What makes it so easy? Surely there are challenges. Surely there are things that are very difficult. You might think, you might feel, in Jewish life. You know, for each person, there are different issues which are very difficult. For one person, it might be very difficult to eat kosher. I remember someone I knew. They wanted to start eating kosher, and in fact it was quite an easy matter for them to have their home kashered, And now in so at home they would only have kosher meats, and their wife got a few cookery books, and that was fine. What they missed was going to a West End restaurant where a famous actor is sitting at the next table, or a member of the government, you know, and everyone is nudging it. Oh, look who's there! You know, unfortunately. Or for whatever way you look at it, the famous actors and the members of the government don't yet come to the kosher restaurants we have in Golders Green, and so they can go to a kosher restaurant, have a very nice meal, but it won't have exactly the same atmosphere, right, that they were looking for.
But say, for instance, you go out, but I don't go out to eat, really, no, right. Not in any way, but say you would go out to eat.
Yes.
And you don't go to a kosher restaurant, or there isn't a kosher restaurant. What does one eat then? Or doesn't one eat?
Do you want 100%, 80%, 40%,
or 5%? I don't know, really, because I don't eat out, you see. I'm not one to go to restaurants, so I don't
know.
Well,
Rini, if you were going to go to a restaurant, yeah, I would recommend that you go to 100% kosher restaurant. There are restaurants in Golders Green like Milk and Honey, and like a whole string of very, very nice restaurants, very, very pleasant.
But there's none round here.
There aren't. They haven't
Tasty
been able.
Pizza.
I mean, they haven't.
What's
got
it?
Tasty Pizza.
Tasty Pizza, right?
Where's
okay.
Kosher Pizza.
Tasty you know. Pizza. It's on the corner.
Can buy it.
I think you can. It's not
but
exactly like an evening restaurant, is it?
No,
it's not.
Take away.
This area hasn't really managed to support a restaurant.
No, I mean, I'm
not
speaking about takeaway things.
No. Away. You want somewhere to sit down.
Bakery.
That's more in Golders Green and Hendon.
Who's going to go to slap there for a restaurant? I'm not going to go there. Unless somebody takes me, maybe, but no one takes me, so I don't go.
There are a lot of Jewish people that have kosher at home, find it in the United Synagogue, but they eat out.
You mean in non-kosher
yes.
restaurants?
Yeah, they do.
But vegetarian, maybe, or...
Yes, Eastern, Middle Eastern.
Yeah, the trouble with that is that there are many... You see, if a frying pan, I mean... Either it's used only for kosher things, or if it's used once for non-kosher things, then there is a major problem after that, using, you know, eating food from that pan.
I don't have that
and
problem.
Another thing, what is a Jewish person allowed to drink? Is a Jewish person allowed to drink
vegetables?
Grumpa, whiskey.
Whiskey, yes. Basically, whiskey is kosher. Whiskey and vodka are kosher.
And vodka are kosher.
Yeah. But there are other things.
And the kosher wine's all right, but the other things are not. Not sherries, for instance.
No, well, you see, what's not kosher is non-kosher wine.
Oh,
non-Jewish wine is not kosher.
Right.
Sherry is made from wine.
Yes.
That's the thing. So therefore, sherry, if it's not kosher, cannot be drunk. Vodka is not made from wine.
Right.
With whiskey, now there was a flurry a little while ago because there are some whiskies where when you look at the bottle, it said this whiskey has been matured in a sherry cask.
Oh, I see.
So that means that it's somehow mixed in, even if it's a very small amount, but it's mixed in with non-kosher sherry.
What about cognac, for instance? Is that deemed as kosher? I mean, these are things that people don't really know.
Well, I think cognac is generally drunk with a hefse. You can get cognac with a hefse.
You can get cognac.
You can get everything with a hefse.
Oh,
you see, now the trade in kosher wine and kosher food is enormous.
Right.
And it's just amazing what you can get, and you can get all kinds of different wines which are kosher wines. So that's the the point is how we got onto this subject is that you could have one person for whom eating kosher is a very difficult issue, very challenging issue. Rini, just to the best thing is to eat in a kosher restaurant. You know?
Yeah, if it went out to eat,
how
it would
about
be
kosher organic.
If someone makes a kosher organic
you could obviously have a kosher organic restaurant.
I've got a good idea for a company.
Right.
It's called
Kosher Organic.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
you better.
In America, I'm told they have it written up kosher and organic. Only in America.
Jewish Organic Kosher Enterprises.
Okay, lovely. Okay, well, I hope it's not just a joke. Right. Okay, so some people are challenged by the issue of eating kosher or eating kosher out or something like that. And that's a challenge which they may at some point find difficult to deal with. I remember once someone phoned me up from abroad. He was in Norway. His job was to be a business consultant. In other words, a company, a large company, has got some kind of problem. Two of the executives can't get on with each other, and so they call in a third person to help deal with this problem, or maybe it's that they want to break the company in two, or they want to merge with another company, and they need some kind of good mediator who's able to work with the people. So he phoned me up from Norway. He said, I've got a terrible problem. I've got to do this business consultancy, and everything here is based on wine. Everyone sits down, drinks wine together, and that's how they expect their problem to be mediated. But I can't find any kosher wine. You know, so he had a very big problem over there, you know, what to do and whether there was a way he could get some kosher wine shipped into him so that he could, you know, I've got here a bottle of wine, brings out a bottle of Italian wine or something like that, you know, and puts it on the table and they drink this kosher wine. Another person might find the problem, you know, there are lots of problems in life which could make a person depressed. And just, you know, moving to the next point, getting up in the morning, doing what has to be done, can be a very, very big challenge. There's a saying in Yiddish, Tracht gut, wird sein gut. Think good, and it'll be good. Now that can be a big challenge to a person. You know, can you make that step? Can you cut through all the darkness and all the problems and all the issues and all the worries and anxieties and just say, oh, trach gut, wird sein gut, think good, it's going to be good.
Mind you, I will say this, there is one place at the Brenner Center where they do have Gedassia food, and you can go in there. Anyone can go in there.
Right. Well, that's lovely.
I don't know if anyone can go in, can they?
Yeah, they can. Oh. And you can have a sandwich, or you can have a coffee, or...
I didn't know anyone could go in there.
Yes, you can. It's just they have a bar there.
Beautiful.
And the Orthodox people do go and have their dinner there.
That's why they made it Gedassia, wasn't it? Because before
yes,
it was
everything,
on...
Yes, everything.
Because everyone can eat that.
You can have... You can do that. So...
Well, that's
fine.
A lovely thing.
So that's funny. I do, you know, I have.
You have them?
Yes.
When you're there, right.
I go there, yeah. Right.
Maybe Lubavitch would start a little cafe.
It's very hard to sustain a cafe in this area. Yes. Because it's a home-based area. There's large families and they live at home. Then to take a large family out to eat in a restaurant, it costs a huge amount of money. Yeah. You know, if it's two people and you know, one child, okay, but if it's if you've got to put food on the table for seven children, then
that's
restaurants
right.
aren't going to do
no,
very
not
well
possible. That's not possible. Can't do it.
That's
no
right.
You can't
do
it
social,
not possible.
You could do a social enterprise where it was community owned. Money all went back.
Michelle is thinking about this. Tick, 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 tick.
Well, I've been thinking about
it. I can see
it.
How she's going to be running this beautiful...
Well, no, I've been thinking about that. You know, the area really could use a nice big place with internet, you know, like a kosher, eco-cyber organic
would be nice.
Cafe. You know, that would just
it would
be a
be
really
nice.
Fun, nice place
it
where people
would be
could
nice.
Come
so
in.
It's after a change,
lots
perhaps a person would want to go
you
out.
You could get funding for it because there's a big push now in sustainability. You know, it sort of be like a green cafe and it would be kosher, green, organic, you know, and just yeah, and a resource I think, information.
I think,
you know,
the trouble is, Michelle, to speak seriously, the local youth won't be allowed to go there.
Why?
Ephraim's children or grandchildren.
Why not? Why not?
Because it will lead to too much mixing between boys and girls, and you know, like there's certain rules.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you know, you in order to run a thing like that, it needs to be a somewhat more to the left society, you know. So in Hendon, where it's a bit more open,
secular,
that's right, a bit more secular. See, here it's more a matter of, see, what we have are places like the Lubavitch, where you're able to come in, learn something. There should be more food here. I mean, Johnny tries very hard to make make some food so that you've got something to eat and drink. You know, that's...
In other words, it should be more of a communal... It should be more of a community thing, like, which they're doing now at the Brenner Centre.
Yeah, well, that's
it
very good.
It is a community.
Well, I think that's a lovely thing.
So that building is open all hours of the day and the night.
Excellent.
For girls, they go and they dance and they have exercise, Orthodox girls, and then there's rooms upstairs where they pray. And
beautiful.
And it's a proper community. It's for
Where's
people.
That?
That's along the road.
Which is right.
Building, you know,
which
one
is
along.
Right. That is correct.
They have an elderly on a Thursday, don't they?
Yeah, they have for older people and not so old as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
a lot of different things going on there. Yeah,
yeah, that's very
good.
Now
there is. It's quite open.
Much more consciousness in organic
and it's not
food in this community.
The only thing
in
is
the Orthodox community.
Yeah,
if the only thing is that if you would object to the men and women all mixing all together, it may not be suitable in that respect. You know, although the men do sit separately, the women are still in the same.
But that's all right for that kind of thing. You know, but the point is they're sitting separately.
Yeah. Oh yes, you know, they would sit at separate tables. Like.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite a good thing.
Okay, all right. So let's just begin again. Here we are to explain clearly what it means, ma'oid. The word ma'oid, very much. In this verse, that the thing is very easy for you to do. Now, what makes it easy for us to keep Yiddishkeit, for us to keep Torah? Whatever the challenge, it's easy for us. Tzorich leida nemona, that's the third line down. You have to know clearly. Ki af mi shedaitek tzora b'yediyas Hashem. Even someone who doesn't know so much about all the kind of interesting and deep topics that there are in a book like Tanya, this person doesn't know so much about that. He's not really, or she's not really able to understand so much of the greatness of Hashem. Hashem is so great. I mean, if you think about that in a deep way, if you thought about the greatness of Hashem, if we thought about the greatness of Hashem, we would feel inspired. We would feel awe of Hashem. We would feel love of Hashem. But if we don't think in that kind of way, not everyone is like that. Not everyone is so sort of cerebral, spiritual. They think about things, they get inspired by it. You know, there are people like that, but not everyone is like that. You see, one way a person could be thinking in such a way, they really are like filled with love for Hashem. It's just filled with joy. Imagine you're walking in the street with such a tremendous feeling of joyfulness. Hashem is making the world. Hashem made the world this morning. In fact, every hour He remakes the world. Here we are in this world that Hashem has made, and He's keeping us alive in the world, and we're able to walk along the street. What a fantastic thing. You feel a surging of joyfulness in your heart. It's absolutely incredible. Or it might be that the person doesn't feel so excited in their heart, But they feel in their minds. They feel, their mind feels that it's good, because they've been able to think. They've learned to tap the Tanya. They've learned something deep. They've been thinking about something. It's beautiful. It makes them feel very beautiful, very positive in every way. But sometimes people can't get that far even. And what this great rabbi is telling us in Tanya is that the step to feel close to Hashem is actually very easy. So what about someone who doesn't turn on so easily by reading a Perek Tanya? It doesn't happen to him in that way. So this teacher, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, tells us, Afal Pichein, even so, Korov Elov Hadova Ma'oid, it is very easy for each one of us, Lishmo V'la'asois Kol Mitzvos HaTorah, to guard and to keep all the mitzvos of the Torah, V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and especially the study of Torah, which corresponds to everything. And we can do that b'fiv, with our mouth saying the words, U'vilavavoy Mamash, and we can do it with our heart as well, Me'um Kedeliba Be'emes Lamitoy, from the depths of our heart, in real truth, B'dechilu Rechimu, with awe of Hashem and love of Hashem. Now, how are we able to do that? I thought that we're talking about a kind of person who can't do that so easily. How can we do it? Shehi Ava Musuteres Shebelev Klalas Yisrael, because there is a love which is hidden in the heart of every Jew. That's something incredible. That's what he's telling us here. Inside our hearts, each one of us and every single member of the Jewish people, including people who apparently seem very remote from Jewish practice in all kinds of ways, there is a hidden love which is burning there, a longing, a love for Hashem in the most tremendously powerful way. Shehi Yerushalonu Mavaseinu, it's an inheritance that we have from our ancestors, from Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and Sarah and Rachel and Leah and Rebecca, from our great ancestors, both the men and the women. They have given us in inheritance a most wonderful love. The only thing is, this love is very often hidden inside us. And so what we need to try to do and learn the skill of doing is to reveal the hidden love. And if we can reveal the hidden love, then we are bringing out this spiritual quality within us and we are genuinely inspired. So now, in order to understand this, Rak Shetzorich Lahaktim, first of all, we have to consider, Olavaya Tchila, we have to explain by a hetev clearly, Shoresh Avazu, the root of this love, Inyono, what it's like, Ve'echi Yerushalonu, how it's our inheritance, Ve'ech Nichlal Bo Gam Dechilu, and the way the love includes awe, fear as well. So we're going to now explore in this page of Tanya, chapter 18 of the first part of Tanya, we're going to be looking at the idea that inside every single Jew there is a hidden love and a hidden awe of Hashem, which is just waiting to be revealed. Va'inyan, and the subject is as follows. Ki ha'avos hein heina merkava. The patriarchs, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, they are the merkava. They are a spiritual chariot for God, so to speak. They are completely absorbed in and given over to godliness. Va'al kein zochu lahamshech, and therefore they were able to bring down nefesh ruach neshama, a soul, livneim achareim, to their descendants after them ad olam, forever, a soul which comes me'eses sviris de kedusha, from the 10 divine attributes of God. Shaba'arba oilemois, which are in the four worlds of the Kabbalah, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the world of emanation, of creation, of formation, of action. So in other words, in each of these worlds there are 10 spheres, and the patriarchs were able to draw from this godliness, that this godliness should come into us and become our souls. So every Jewish child, boy and girl, man and woman, has within them this deep spirituality, this holiness of godliness. L'chol echot ve'echot, for each individual, kafi madregosoi, according to one's spiritual level, or kafi maisov, and according to the way that we act, because sometimes we reach a deeper level within us. Va'al kolponim, and certainly afilu l'kal shebekalim, even for the, so to speak, the lowest of the low, someone who feels completely remote from Jewish life and Jewish teaching and behaves in a way which is contrary to it at the moment, upoishe Yisrael, people who appear to be sinners, who do wrong things, nimshach bezivugam, when they are intimate together, parents bringing a child into the world, there comes to them nefesh to nefesh to malchus to asiyah. There comes some aspect of a deep sacred holiness to the soul which they are bringing into the world.
Aren't these the names of the in the Kabbalah tree? In that. That's how that is.
Yeah.
Those are the.
Which ones? Atzilut? Which names?
Ein Sof.
Yes. Yes, these are all words.
Nefesh.
Absolutely. These are all words, Michelle, from the spiritual, you know, teachings of Judaism, which are in the Kabbalah.
Yeah, how that is.
Yeah, at the top of there yeah. different types of diagram. At the top yeah. of the diagram is Ein Sof, is right. the infinite, yeah. and then you have the different steps down, coming yeah. down. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
The Sephiroth. What do they call the Sephiroth?
The Sephiroth. That's right. The Sephiroth. The divine emanations. That's exactly right. Yes. So here we have the idea that every individual has within them a soul that they have got from their parents through the fact of being Jewish. They have got a soul which comes from those sacred spheres, and it might come from the lowest level, but it's still sacred on the in an infinite way. Va'afal pichein, even if it's from the Madrega Tachtoino Shebegudushas Asiya, if you're going to draw this diagram with four different worlds, even if it's from the lowest world and the lowest level of the lowest world, nonetheless, Vafo Pichain, nonetheless, Ma'acha Shehime Esesviris Kedoshas, since this soul comes from the 10 sacred spheres, Hiklula Mikulon, the soul has all the spheres within it. Gam mechochma da asiya, also wisdom of the realm of action. We're talking of a soul that comes from the lowest level of the world of action. So it's also got within it the highest level of the world of action. Shebesorcha melubeshes, within which is the wisdom of malchus of the highest world of Atzilus, within which is the highest level of Atzilus. And in that of emanation, and which is the highest world, and in that is shining Shabo Meir or Ein Sof Baruch Hu, Mamash. The radiance of the infinite is shining into that. So whatever level the soul comes from, and Hasidic teachings and the Kabbalah do speak about souls coming from different levels. There are souls that come from very exalted levels, souls which come from lower levels, but nonetheless, even the soul from the very lowest level, it goes, it's like in a chain which therefore connects up to the radiance of the infinite mamash really. Kedirshiv Hashem b'chokhma yosad oretz, God founded the earth with wisdom. In other words, wisdom is the highest sphere, it's in the lowest sphere as well. V'chulam b'chokhma asisa, and God made everything with wisdom, which is the highest level. V'nimsa, that comes out. Ki Ein Sof Baruch Hu Melubush, that the infinite itself is enclosed bevchinas chokhma shebenefesh adam, in the quality of wisdom which is in the soul of each person, each Jew, yiyem mi sheyiyem mi Yisrael, whoever he or she is. He could be living in the worst way, nonetheless, in that person there is radiating Ein Sof, the infinite, the radiance of the infinite. And that quality of wisdom, together with the radiance of the infinite, hamalubash bo, which is there within the soul of the person, mispashetes b'chol b'chinas hanefesh kula, it spreads through the whole soul, every aspect of the soul. There are many different aspects within the soul. To give it life, from the highest level to the lowest, as it says, that wisdom gives life to those who have it. In other words, this is spiritual wisdom, and every single Jew has got this very, very deep spiritual level within them. And then on the next page, he says in brackets, and sometimes mamshichim poishe Yisrael, sinners can draw down, like a husband and wife who are really not very, they're not observant, they may not be nice people, unfortunately, they may be doing all kinds of things which are wrong, but nonetheless, they can draw down into the world neshamas gevoyas ma'oid, a very, very deep neshama, a very exalted neshama. And why is it that these two sinners managed to reach this very exalted neshama? Shahayu be'imke have klikpas, because this neshama, this very, very wonderful neshama, was somehow hidden away in a realm of negativity. And these two people, who actually, if you look at the like the CV of each of them, it doesn't look very good at all. They and they're doing a lot of things which are wrong, but nonetheless, they are somehow able, because they are in this negative situation perhaps, they're reaching into the depths of this negative realm and drawing from there a most beautiful soul. And so they have a child, and that child has a beautiful, exalted soul. And so you can never tell. You could have very, very simple and really quite negative parents have a child who is wonderful. And so in general, the way that we look at it is that every single child, every single Jewish child, every single person, and a child might be 70 years old as well, doesn't only have to be 7 years old, every single Jewish child or person has a tremendously deep spiritual quality within them. And that helps us understand how to relate to other people, but also how to relate to ourselves. That we ourselves have a deep spiritual quality inside us, and all we have to do is know how to illuminate that spiritual quality.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there anything in the books which talks about other planets and other civilizations and other dimensions? Well, I'm sure other dimensions, but I mean, it's a big universe, so there's obviously life and civilization. Is there anything that explains